All right. What? How do you open one of these trade hot dogs? Is there like a normal opening?
Yeah. Welcome to Train Hot Dog, the podcast where I talk to myself on a train.
Yeah, we're not on a train.
Don't tell them that.
Are you gonna dub in train music?
Not anymore. Thanks to you.
All right. How do I? All right. So we're looking up what the SRS on Airbag is. SRS airbag. It stands for supplemental restraint system.
Huh. Okay. Supplement. Because they don't want to be stealing the seatbelts jobs.
Right, right. Well, I think that the airbag is not designed to function for somebody who's not also wearing a seatbelt. Because you'll go flying in a different direction.
Right.
So, wonder who invented that particular idiom.
You know what sucks is when I was searching my head for the right words, I like looked up to the top left because that's what you do when you're thinking. And I'm driving, so I really shouldn't do that.
Yeah, you might trigger the use of the SRS airbag.
Yeah, yeah. Then we find out firsthand how supplemental it really is.
It's also really expensive to repackage an airbag if one of your car triggers.
Yeah, you don't have to just, like... Oh, it's the opposite of blowing up a balloon. You don't just pop it.
Yeah, well, it's you need to, like, take it to the dealer, and they refit a new airbag and... add new plastic or something, I don't know. It's a one-time use thing, so...
Oh, yeah. Like a bag of popcorn.
Right, and apparently they charge you through the nose.
Gross.
Yeah. They just... They charge right through your nose.
Wow. That's not where I want the airbag to go.
You look like one of those, stereotypical voodoo doctors with a little bone. Ugh. That's a real thing, right? Like, that's based on a real thing.
Probably a real racist thing.
Is it racist? Like, if it's a thing that people really... I mean, like, depictions can be racist, right? But was that nose bone thing a thing that someone
when
really
they
did
it, it was racist.
Okay.
Racist against themselves. Okay. It's like how you go yell at people who are running a Chinese laundry for
being
reinforcing,
Chinese.
Reinforcing the stereotypes.
Yeah, it's true. I learned why,
This dog is freaking out. It's gonna run into the street.
Okay. I learned why there's an association between Koreans and nail parlors.
Oh, I want to know.
It had to do with, forget which actress it is. She was a famous actress in, like, I don't know, 40s. And she got really interested in the immigrant population around Hollywood.
Uh-huh.
And taught a bunch of the women there how to style nails and hair in the Korean communities there so that they could open beauty salons and sort of be self-sufficient in business.
Huh.
Which is why there are so many Korean nail parlors now, was because, like, that was the industry.
They're descended from those women who were genetically...
That's what I heard on NPR anyway.
That's interesting.
Yeah. It was an actress that's famous enough that you would have heard of her, but I can't remember what her name is. I guess I should look it up. Like, that's what this is about,
sure,
right?
Sure, yeah. Let's
do yeah. It. All right. Hollywood act. What do I Google? Hollywood actress nail salons?
Sure, why not?
Korea? Tippi Hedren. I don't know, maybe you haven't heard of her.
No, I have not heard that name.
Oh, and I was wrong. It wasn't Korean nail salons, it was Vietnamese nail salons.
Same thing.
Oh, okay. Now who's being racist? I like how,
Edlander.
According to... So, the first result from this is from the BBC.
Uh-huh.
The second is from a website called Take Part. And the third is, Breitbart. So... Who reports it's an $8 billion a year industry following the Vietnam War? Man, I just, like, had everything wrong. It wasn't the 40s. I really should have listened closer to that NPR story.
It still makes a pretty good story.
I think, anyway. Vietnam's Other Legacy, The Rise of the Corner Nail Salon on CBS News, or CBC News. Is that the, I guess it's the Canadian Broadcasting Company?
I think so.
So is it Canadian Broadcasting or Canada Broadcasting?
Well, it's Canada Goose.
Right. And they named their broadcasting system after the goose.
That's what I would do.
Yeah. Hopefully this BART will be here, and we don't have to just record, like, 12 minutes of the highway.
Oh, I was just gonna stop.
Okay, that's also possible. I could splice this episode onto the front of the last episode, and we'd have a full-length episode.
Okay, cool.
Good.
Yeah, let's not record that those highway noises.
Yeah.
Just ever.
Yeah, but they're so, what's the word for pungent, but when you hear it?
Piercing?
Well, they're not piercing, they're just really loud, but they're not, like, high-pitched, right?
Stultifying.
Okay, we'll go with that. Alright, thanks, writers. How do I stop this recording now? Press home to open.
Center is 2 after. Not
what's that?
Civic Center is 2 after.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Did what?
Doing your thing.
Oh, congratulations. Now you can get all the great Slackbot content.
I want to see it.
Yeah.
Is it in general?
It's wherever you want it to be. You just say Slackbot review and then the thing you wanted to review, and it reviews the thing.
No, I want to see the existing Slackbot content.
Oh, I think that was in games.
Yeah, Undertale.
It's alright.
Mayfair! Daily Sea Train, Mayfair Transport. transfer to Fremont, another platform transfer.
It's riveting content. Talking about why Undertale is like not a particularly good game.
It's alright.
Yeah, it's alright. Like I agree with that assessment. So I said it's eerily accurate a lot of the time. Neil Cicerega album outtakes. No, the new ones.
I listened to each of them long enough to get the joke.
You didn't think that they were up to snuff?
I mean, I don't know if I'm just done, because that was how I listened to Mouth Moods as well.
Okay.
Like I was like listening up like 10 seconds and I'm like, haha, that's funny. I actually laughed at some of them.
Right.
And then I was like, okay, skip track, I get it.
Huh. I think Mouth Moods was definitely the weakest of all of them, but I still thought it was funny.
It is funny.
There's some really good stuff in there though that like only happens halfway through the song, which is the problem if you're only tasting.
Yeah.
But if you were to say that you didn't think that these were up to snuff, I would understand.
I don't know if it is. I don't know if it's that album or if it's me.
How do you feel about the rest of his stuff?
I really liked the first two.
But I mean, like, what about all of his stuff that he's done?
Oh, some of it really clicks with me.
Okay.
So, like, what was it? The last thing I remember really enjoying of his was his performance of the Ariel Needs Legs.
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I learned all about the different types of Pokemon.
Sure, yeah.
I liked the Potter puppet pals.
Sure, yeah. A lot of people like that.
Not once they switched to the real puppets, though. I liked the animated ones.
I wonder if the intent was always to have real puppets.
Maybe. I discovered a video that he made when he was like 13 on Albino Black Sheep the other day.
I saw that. That was the first thing of his that I saw.
Okay.
And I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was really surprised, given that I think Apollo 18 is my favorite They Might Be Giants album. But I had not seen that.
I'm thinking of a different thing that he made when he was 13.
Okay. Yeah, no, he was part of a collaboration where they got a different person to animate each individual segment of fingertips from Apollo 18.
That's good.
Yeah. Did you ever play the Apollo 18 text adventure collection?
No.
It was for, I think, the 20th anniversary of that album. A bunch of people in the IF community got together and each of them made a small IF game based on one of the songs on the album.
That's cool. Because
I know because Jenny did one. I think she did Dig My Grave, maybe? Mm. Yeah. Yeah. They were hit or miss for me, but yeah, it was fine.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, I didn't know about that compilation.
I think that they did it as a video games hot dog assignment. on, like, the 7th episode. Long time ago. They're like, what, how many of those do you guys have now? How many episodes are you guys at now?
280-something. Now that Idle Thumbs isn't doing it anymore, we can finally catch up.
Well, that was the point of Video Games Hot Dog in the first place, you know.
Was to beat Idle Thumbs?
Well, no, because Idle Thumbs, like, was done.
Oh, yeah.
And Zach was sad that there wasn't any video games podcast like Idle Thumbs anymore. So he decided to do one of his own.
And then Idle Thumbs came back, and he was just like, well...
we're still doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, see, you keep doing it even though they're not. Yeah, he recorded so many hours of podcasts a week when he was doing two KOL podcasts of an hour or two each a week, plus Video Games Hot Dog, plus Advice Hot Dog. That's a lot of podcasting.
There were two KOL podcasts?
Yeah, they had a Monday show and a Thursday show.
I guess that was when they had more than twice as many people playing the game.
Well, the Monday show was Zach and Josh, who I don't think you've ever met. But then the Thursday, and that was less related to gameplay. It was just like more people who wanted to write in and ask the non-gameplay questions. And then the Thursday show was like really heavy mechanic stuff with Riff and Kevin. Yeah, but Josh still does the horror show Hot Dog podcast.
Right.
Which is good.
It's the only one on Stitcher.
Yes. Well, it's because they had their website got hacked by a Russian.
That reminds me, twinbeard.com I think still has like font malware on it or something. I haven't been able to figure out how to get it off.
Huh. You should delete the website and start over.
You're right. That is clearly the way to handle it.
Just nuke it from orbit, just to be sure.
Well, the problem is WordPress.
Oh, is it really? It's all through WordPress?
This website is built on WordPress, and that's, like, never a good idea.
That's what my website's built on.
It probably has font malware.
There's barely any font on it.
No, but, like, it's going to be, like malware in the website asking you to install a new font.
That has never happened, so I think it's okay.
Well, it doesn't happen to me when I go there, but like other people are emailing me saying
nobody's ever reported a problem, so I'm guessing until somebody sends me an email saying, hey, your website tried to malware me.
Maybe they can't because they already got malwared.
Well, you know what? They shouldn't have installed all those fonts I told them to install.
Yeah.
Or you know what I could do? I have some pretty good custom fonts that I could, just make pop up when you go to the website asking if you would like to please install my font. And they'll think it's malware, but it's actually just a cool font.
Yeah, no, when I'm looking for malware, the last thing I want is a new font. So there were two podcasts.
Yeah.
One is about gameplay.
Yeah, and one was like social.
Okay.
Two of them talking.
One of them was like... It was about social KOL stuff, or it was just them talking?
A little both. Like, people still wrote in questions, but when you were submitting a question through his form, you would be able to do, like, submit to the Monday show or submit to the Thursday show, depending on what you're talking about.
Okay.
So, originally, it was just send an in-game tell to this account that we run with your question.
Right.
And then it was posting this forum thread, and then he was like, I should just make a web submission for him. That's what it is to this day. I don't know. Do people often use the web submission form for questions?
I don't know. Zach doesn't answer questions anymore.
Oh. Is it because people stopped submitting them?
Well, for a while, he thought that was why he had done it. He had stopped. But then he realized they were just going into the void, and people were actually using the form, and the questions weren't getting to us.
That's even better.
And then he fixed that bug, and then we did the listener mail section for a few weeks, and then we stopped doing it again.
Okay, well, he cleared out all those mails that people had to resend.
Maybe, yeah. Zach also did a survey recently about, like, what segment do you like best? And I think the assignment and listener mail were, like, the two least popular segments.
There are only three segments, so...
Yeah, okay.
I didn't even see that survey. Was that through the Patreon?
Maybe.
Okay. Must have missed it.
They like the part... Well, there's also the part where we talk about video games, and then also the part where we don't talk about video games.
Right, but the part where you don't talk about video games isn't a separate segment.
But it was on the survey.
Okay.
And it was the favorite part.
I'm waiting... Wait, the video game segment was the favorite part?
The not video game segment.
You say, because I know that there has been a concerted effort to make that span the length of the podcast.
That on my part, yes.
This is why you need to have me as a guest, because I'll be able to help you out with that.
I thought weren't you complaining about Idle Thumbs? switching to a non-video game format.
Right, but that was because what the thing that I listened to Idle Thumbs for was for their reader mail that where people who also work in the industry write it with really weird, dumb stories.
Oh, I see.
Like that was my favorite part of the Idle Thumbs podcast, because there are really good stories.
Right.
That and when they talked about Frog Crashers too, that was also a good part of Idle Thumbs podcast.
I thought that was cool too.
Yeah. I think that's my favorite part of most podcasts.
Yeah, I remember discovering that was my favorite part of podcasts when Frog Crashers 1 came out.
Yeah. But I also don't, like, know those guys super well.
You've listened to how many episodes of Idle Thumbs?
I don't know, 100 maybe?
Right. So, like, one of the things I have discovered about listening to podcasts is that it makes you feel like you know people that you've never met and who have no idea who
you
are.
But I have met those guys, and they, like, do know who I am. I just don't know them very well.
Right. Same.
Right.
But because I listen to them talk every week for an hour,
okay,
I feel like I am, like, in one sense, I don't really know them. In another sense, I'm close friends with them.
I don't think I could tell you anything substantial about those people other than their names and maybe what video games they like.
But so much of, like, what makes a person is just how they interact with the world. And you hear, like, you don't hear about their families, but you hear about them as people.
Hmm.
Anyway, that's just my sense of it.
I think that's true of some podcasts more than others. I don't think that is true of me for Idle Thumbs.
Okay.
Plus, they keep changing who's on that podcast. I can't get to know anybody, right?
Yeah, I'm hoping for a more stable lineup for the, what is it? Huge if true?
Serious if true? No, important if true.
Okay, yeah.
But that's the that's
they,
a podcast.
It really should have been Huge If True. That would have been a way better name.
Well, I think, isn't there a podcast entirely about Jurassic Park?
That was a joke.
Oh, okay. If that were true, I would have been more interested in it. I listened to a Jurassic Park podcast because they were delivering some quality Jurassic Park content for a while there.
They were. And they still occasionally, like, the first one was more about the Terminator.
Okay. Well, see, if I want to listen to a Terminator podcast, I'll go to Overthinking It, where they have...
This is definitely about Jake overthinking the Terminator.
Right, but Overthinking It has Mark Lee, the world's leading expert on the Terminator franchise, as one of their regular podcast hosts.
Self-proclaimed leading expert?
I believe that it was proclaimed by somebody else on the podcast.
Okay.
Who bestowed upon him that title. He's a nice guy. I played X-Wing versus TIE Fighter with him one time.
Was his handle the Terminator?
No. I think it was M. Lee.
That's shameful. You gotta go for something good.
That game is really hard to control. I don't know if you ever played it, but
I played X-Wing.
Okay.
On like a 386 when I was a kid.
Okay.
And I didn't understand it.
It's a hardcore flight simulator, and I don't have a flight stick.
Right. I was using a keyboard and mouse.
I was using an Xbox 360 controller that I had jerry-rigged up to a bunch of different commands, telling the computer that it was a flight stick.
Right. That sounds horrifying.
Yeah, it was really hard, and I didn't know what any of the buttons did, and I got blown up by people who were better at this game than me over and over again. Also, they banned the TIE Bomber, because apparently it's broken.
Huh. Maybe I should have played as that.
Maybe. Well, was the TIE Bomber a choice in X-Wing?
I guess not. Just,
just in TIE Fighter.
Right.
Yeah. That's a game that I've purchased twice.
I didn't buy it even the first time.
I think I paid $1 for it the first time, and then I paid like $10 for it from GOG because that copy actually worked on my computer.
The one I pirated in like 1992 worked on my 386.
I think these were from 1997 or 8.
What line are we on? What color?
This is, I think it's going to Milbrae, so it's the,
It'd be blue, wouldn't it? Because double.
I think it's the blue line. Well, where are you going?
I'm trying to get to the airport.
Yeah, so.
I just can't figure out what the heck of line I'm on.
We're going in the right direction, but you might need to transfer to another train on the same tracks.
Yeah. So, the last place I was at, it just said this was heading into San Francisco.
Right.
I guess it said it was going to Daly City, which is on the red line.
Right. Daly City means that it stops at Daly City, and there you need to transfer. I think the official transfer is Glen Park or Balboa Park. Balboa Park, I think it's it. Yeah, that the four circles at Balboa Park indicate that's the transfer point. So, this wouldn't be, since we got on an, we got on a Castro Valley, so it's the blue line. I just realized this. It's obvious to us.
So, okay. But it could be the green line, too, right? Because it also goes and stops at the Daly City.
Right, but it's not because we got on a Castro Valley.
So only you would know.
Right, exactly.
You're on the blue and not the green.
Right. Yep. Well, it's also on the sign, but I wasn't looking at that.
Yeah,
well,
I couldn't. Yeah. Maybe it was
so just you're going to need to, if you're going to the airport, you're going to need to get off at Balboa Park, wait for a train that says SFO.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I've lived in Chicago and New York, and I don't know why I'm so lost here.
Sure.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. We get that?
Yeah, I think so.
Cool.
Good. Special guest content.
Yeah.
We'll see how it comes out in post, though. Might be too far away.
Yeah, I'm actually worried about even me talking.
This is a pretty good range on the iPhone.
Okay.
The iPhone microphone is really good for a phone. You know what? If it comes back awful sounding, it doesn't matter.
It's true. Oh my god, I'm getting notifications from the Slack you invited me to.
I don't even get notifications from the Slack.
I need to turn off notifications.
What are you getting notifications about?
Everything. Like people saying things.
Like email notifications? Or no, like the red
phone notifications.
Oh. Yeah, I just didn't authorize Slack to send me push messages.
Right.
Why would you want that?
I want it from some things. Oh, it's people saying my name.
Oh, that would do it. Oh, do you have Frog Fraction set up as a ping?
No, it just says someone says Jim.
Oh, yeah. Looks like people are greeting you. Presumably that will die down.
Yeah, okay, that's acceptable to me. I'll add a reaction to these. Do you have any good custom reactions?
A lot of them are from our Twinbeard Slack. I think we have the dog spin. Oh no. Let's see. Have dog spin? I'll have to add dog spin.
Yeah, dog spin. I was surprised when dog spin was on the
video games hot dog.
Yeah.
I think that's because I added it.
Thank you.
I think. Yeah. I've taken to cross pollinating emoticons between all the Slacks that I'm in.
That's good.
And also the good Slackbot messages. Of this /Jiffy command.
Certainly I'm getting a lot of that.
Usually it's confined to a single channel, but I guess it's leaked out of GIF chat.
It's special because I'm here.
Yeah. I like how you were greeted with a woman talking to a giant prawn.
I didn't actually look at the video.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a woman with a shrimp that is as large as she is.
Open.
These GIFs don't make sense.
Yeah, welcome to Jiffy. You could only hang out in the Dark Pages podcast channel, and then you'll know when a new episode comes out, right? Oh, was Ryan allowed into the thing last night with you?
No. No, it was like,
poor
it was
Ryan.
Actually literally full to fire marshal
legal capacity.
Safety capacity, yeah.
Huh. That's interesting, given how limited I was under the impression this mailing list was.
Apparently it's grown and everybody wants to bring a plus one.
Okay, that makes more sense. I wonder what Ryan did. Just walked out dejectedly into the night.
He went to sleep.
That's a less interesting story. It's by far like the version of that story that's probably okay, but less exciting.
He was saying that he was on the fence about going to the thing at all.
Okay.
And was wondering if he should just go to sleep. Like, and I was there too, actually.
Gonna come to the cool diner with us in the Toronto devs.
That sounds like it was a good event.
Yeah.
Except for you pissing off Carla.
No, that was a different thing.
Okay.
That was earlier in the day when I was playing Tacoma, and she said I had a 13-minute time limit because that's how long their demo is.
Okay.
It's like, until you get to a certain plot beat, or 13 minutes, whichever happens first. And I got really confused by the controls and realized I had run most of my time out. So for the last 2 or 3 minutes, I just took every interactable object in the room and threw it into a big pile on the floor. And I could hear her talking to the next person online, saying, like, why is he doing that? Like, what's he looking for? Why isn't he inspecting any of the objects? Like why is he, like, carefully piling up every single object in the room?
Apparently she's never tested a video game before.
Maybe, I don't know. But I said, she was like, really diligent, but not inspecting anything. And I was like, yeah, I figured I was probably about to hit the end of my time, so just wanted to make as big a pile as possible.
Is this the Mega Booth?
No, this was at a Day of the Devs booth. Interesting. It looks a lot more complicated than Gone Home. She told me it's not, but, like, it feels a lot more involved.
Is it just because you're in space?
I got motion sick from the floating a little bit, which has never happened to me in a video game before. But no, it's because, like, I pulled up, like, the menu, and it was just, like, a bunch of what felt like, I don't know, Alien Isolation dossiers on all the crew members that I needed to look through, and the ability to scan things for information.
So, do you have to read the dossiers, or are they read aloud to you by a teenage girl?
They were read aloud. So what was interesting about, like, the audio logs that I found was that they were actually, like I joked about yesterday, they were actually spatial. You actually had to stand there in the space.
Really?
Yeah. But they were, so you would be in a space and you trigger, it was like a hologram, and you'd see the two characters in a hologram interacting with each other, but it would also, like, you could move to the next room and it was also other people on the crew in there interacting at the same time. So depending on what room you were in, you would hear part of, like, one conversation or the other one. So to hear both, you would have to go through it twice. But it also has, unlike most audio logs, it has a seek function. So you can fast forward and rewind and stuff on the audio log.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So you can pause, rewind, and fast forward. And I don't know if, I was playing with the controller, but I don't know if you could, like, jump to a specific timestamp if you were using a mouse. So it didn't seem like it would be painful the way that normally being forced to stand in a space would be. Yeah. And Steve rolled up and said, oh, hi, I'm Steve. And I was like, Steve, we know each other. And he was like, oh, right.
Did he have the Steve Gaynor ribbon?
He did. He said, and then he commented, nice to meet you, IRL. fine.
Good. Yeah, if, I guess if Carla listens to this, she should know that I did not mean to offend her or to insult her in any way by thinking that something Steve said was funny. Makes me wish that we could demo our game easily.
We should figure out a way.
I feel like it might, like, the best way to demo it in terms of, like, exposing people to the content might just be, like, a WarioWare quick dip into a bunch of the games, or, like, just start them at the Warp Zone.
Sure.
Which, like, feels bad for the intent of the product, but feels good for, like, getting people to understand what it is.
Yeah.
Welcome to Warp Zone. We should implement a minus world, too.
What would that be?
It's everything. It's the entire game, but just mirrored.
Okay. I was gonna do that. I was actually gonna have, like, a mirror world version of the entire game. But it turned out to be, like, more than a few hours' work, because I had to reverse mouse input, too.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did, actually.
That would have been funnier if you hadn't.
It might have been funnier.
Like, if you had just done that and not put anything new in there, just for the sake of having Dark World as a joke...
Yeah, well, the way I was going to put it in, you couldn't get back.
Okay. Well, because you didn't have the magic mirror, right?
Right. Yep.
Man, just think how much cool stuff we could do if we kickstarted a new game or a DLC. I asked our Discord for $200,000 for Frog Fractions Origins, and Turkim Fethrog offered his kidney.
That's worth $200,000 to somebody.
Well, he said, well, it wasn't his kidney, it was a kidney that he just happened to have.
Oh. Is it of his unborn child?
I don't know. He recorded a trade hot dog, didn't he?
I don't remember who it was.
I think it was him.
Was it the one where Jim doesn't talk?
Well, that was mine. And then the next week you forgot to change the description back, so they thought it was me again.
Right.
She should come to GDC.
I agree.
I told her to, and she said she was too busy with work.
She's a game developer.
She is now.
All right, we should get off here.
Is this our stop, or should we just get? Or are we just getting off here?
Both.
Okay. All right. Goodbye, riders. How do I end the recording?
We may never know.